On the cover, five students are at their lockers. They grab books, eat a quick snack, or chat with the person next to them. Above the lockers, someone has spray-painted, "Flex sucks," on the wall. Around them is a busy school hallway, the blur of other students moving to class. But these five students are in perfect focus, standing out from their schoolmates when all they want to do is fit in.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Ava Aurelia, and I'm ready to get fired up.
I'm Benicio Bernal. I'm not here to wax poetic. I'm just wax.
My name is Silas, and I put the purr in perspicacious.
Living for the nightlife, I'm Hannah.
I'm Ophelia Fairchild, and it's very nice to meet you.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is The Incidentals, issue number 1, Suspicion. On the first page of the comic, we see an exterior panel of Patricia Arden High School, which is one of the many city public schools in Protean City. It's a newer building. It's made out of brick. It's red. It's a couple buildings, as it's a little bit of a larger high school. There's a track next outside, that has like a football field in the middle of it and some adjacent basketball courts and a little bit of a sports area. And we're going to move into the school. We see panels of students in classrooms sitting at desks with teachers writing on blackboards, or like a mix of teachers writing on blackboards and teachers with smart boards and other kinds of touch panel displays. We see science classrooms of people mixing things and teachers sort of walking kids through how chemistry works and geography and geology and all sorts of other stuff. All sorts of other high school classes that I can definitely remember. And at the end of this sort of like maybe like a full page montage of views around the school, the bottom half of the page is sort of dominated by this huge sound effect of the bell ringing. And you turn the page and we see a classroom and students getting up and leaving. And one of the students who is taking his time getting out of that classroom is Benicio. You are in Dr. Brooks's business class. Dr. Christina Brooks is one of your teachers. And she is going to, she's kind of like walking around, touching the screen that's where the front of the classroom, closing the PowerPoint presentation she was in. And she's going to turn and say, "Mr. Bernal, you're headed to Miss Royston's science class, right? That's where you go next after this?"
"That's what my schedule says."
Could you do me a favor? I have a bit of school business that I need to send her way, and you would be doing me a huge favor if you would bring it to her for me.
"Yeah, of course, doctor."
Yeah, and she walks over to her desk, and she pulls out it's a big like manila envelope, one of the big like things that it folds over on the top and seals. It's kind of a thicker, heavily packed envelope. And she hands it to you and she says, you're the best. You're absolutely great. Thank you for doing this. Tell Mrs. Royston I said that if there's anything in there that she doesn't understand, then I can have somebody take a look at it and figure out what it is, but that it all should be there."
"Just ask for your help."
"Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you so much."
"Yeah, whatever."
So as you leave the room, you might take a look at this folder and you'll see that it's a very packed manila envelope. It has one of those like butterfly clasps on the back that holds the top down on the back. And it has a very subtle but very clear like Flex logo embossed in it.
"Oh."
On the front.
"So when I see that, I'm just gonna dip into the boys' restroom."
"Okay.
I'm going to go into a stall and take out my phone and open it up.
Okay. And so what you find in this, inside of this envelope, you find a series of papers. It's actually like not super clear at first what it is, because there's no like there's no header page. It's just a series of reports. And it looks like some of the chemical analysis stuff that like you've done in science class, but on like a whole different level. It's someone has been doing some kind of chemical and all sorts of different analyses, and these seem to be results, but they're not, I think, anything that it's like all these sorts of crazy matrices of numbers and grids and readouts and printouts and chemical formulas that are above probably what your high school level of science allows you to sort of immediately interpret, at least.
Yeah, so I think we get a few panels of Benicio awkwardly trying to position himself in this bathroom stall with his phone in one hand, the documents in the other, trying to keep the documents all in the same place and just taking pictures of each and every page as fast as he can. He's also made of wax, so there is indeed this just like awkward panel of this wax man just trying to get as much as possible before the next class starts.
Yeah, you can hear people outside moving around and moving their way to class. Would you be worried about getting wax on the paper? Like does your skin kind of work like that?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Definitely have to be careful.
Okay. You're able to do that. You're gonna try to put it all back in and deliver it as is. Are you gonna hang on to it? What's your
plan? I'm gonna try to deliver as is.
Okay. So you head out of the restroom, you put everything back into this envelope and get it all sealed back up nicely. It's because it's just being held by the clasp. It's pretty easy for you to do that. And on your way to class, you run into Silas, who's headed the same direction.
Silas.
But Benicio, what's up?
I have some photos for you of numbers.
Like pi or like irrational numbers?
They're flex numbers.
Oh.
I have no clue what they are, what they're for, and why two of our teachers are passing them in between each other, but I figured you're smart. I can't make any heads or tails of it, so you're just gonna have to do it if you can.
If I can, come on, have you ever given me a problem that I couldn't solve? Don't answer that now.
My current state of being.
Didn't I just say don't answer that? just send the pictures my way, okay? And I'll take a look at them.
Awesome. Break. I don't know. I thought we could be like a cool team, but I'm just
so like fist bump.
Yeah. We could do that. We don't have to, listen, we don't have to decide on this now.
Okay, I will put together a proposal of all the different ways that we could have a handshake.
Thank you.
And so I think that we see the two of you continuing to have this conversation, and maybe at some point transferring some photographs to Silas's phone, walking down the hallway to class, and we see like we sort of like pull back, and we have a panel where you're walking past a bunch of people at their lockers, and we see Hannah and Ava, who are standing next to each other. I guess the two of you have lockers near each other, and you're getting your stuff ready to go to you. I think all of you ultimately are going to be heading to this science class. But so you're getting your stuff, you're getting your books and whatnot. And Hannah, you're looking in your locker, gathering your stuff together, and you feel like I mean, obviously there's a ton of people in this hallway, but you like you in the way that like when a whole group of people walks up behind you, you can feel that there are people behind you, or maybe you have a mirror or something in your locker. So this group of people that comes up behind you is led by Cassie Kennedy, who is the school valedictorian and the captain of the field hockey team. Around her are a bunch of other members of the field hockey team and someone who you might know a little bit better, Tori Tatham, who is someone who is on the track team with you. And Cassie is going to say, "Hey Hawthorne, I heard that you set the new school 800 meter record. That was Tori's record, and you need to fix that. You need to go tell the coach that you something was wrong, that the numbers were wrong, that you cheated in some way, because that's her record, and you can't take that away from her. You should know better than this."
Well, the thing about running is you really can't cheat at it.
Right.
And if she wants her record back so much, she could go beat mine.
And she's going to kind of like step forward and kind of get up in your business and be like, "I don't think that you understood me. You need to tell them that you cheated or something was wrong and get the record revoked."
I mean, that's not fair. I earned that. And like I said, if Tori wants her record back so badly, she can go beat it. I mean, do you really want to falsely hold on to a record that's not yours? I'll ask Tori.
Tori is going to kind of like, Tori and Cassie are good friends, but she's kind of like, this is like, there's a little bit of a sense that you get the sense that Tori is maybe being dragged along here. She's like, "No, it's fine. I'll run faster and I'll get the record back." And Cassie's going to turn to her and say, "No, that's your record. You deserve to have that. And I don't even know who this person is. You need to tell them they messed up and correct the situation." She is going to... Let's say that you like have a book or something in your hands, mm-hmm. like you're pulling stuff out and loading it into your mm-hmm. backpack, and she is just going to like knock the books out of your hand.
That's mean. I think if I see her about to do this, I'm just going to like hold them with my super strength.
Okay. So that. Yeah. Okay. So then she definitely does not. There's this moment where she slaps at the books that are in your hand. But obviously she is not stronger than you. She is going to kind of like look at you, and like there's probably a moment where you make eye contact and she kind of looks like she doesn't quite fully understand what's happened here. One of the other kids from the field hockey team in this big group that's behind you is going to step up and whisper something into Cassie's ear, and Cassie's going to say, "All right, you can have your books, but you can't have the record. So are you going to fix this situation, or are you going to continue to be really difficult for no reason?"
Yeah, you know what? I'll get right on that. No problem.
Good. Do it.
Oh, and she's no, I will.
And she's going to kind of back up and gesture to let you get out of the way.
Yeah, I'll close my locker and just turn to leave. "It was lovely talking to you all," and just walk towards science class.
As soon as you turn your back on her, one of the other group of this group is going to just like dump their iced coffee on maybe not on your head, but like over, like down your back, just kind of like like pop the top off and throw it at you.
I'm gonna try really hard not to react, because I could, but yeah.
Ava, you're there too, and you've also just seen this happen. How would you react to that?
Well, so Hannah would have heard Ava kind of like snorting and trying to cover up laughing for like most of that interaction, as she's sort of like just still looking in her locker, glancing over her shoulder every now and then and rolling her eyes. But then the moment she sees that happen, I think she actually like grabs the wrist of the person who poured the coffee and like pulls them away from Hannah.
Ooh. Whoever this girl is, she's like, "Hey, let go of me. What are you doing?
What the fuck are you doing?"
We're trying
just
to
like spins her around and kind of looks like not slams her, but like chucks her into the lockers so that she's like away from Hannah.
Okay. She is going to spin and kind of like, she's going to hit the lockers and kind of like roll, tumble along them a little bit and maybe even like fall to the ground. Like I think that she's like, you didn't push her that hard. It's more that she's playing up how difficult this was. That happens. And Cassie like turns to you, Ava, and says, Why did you just push Meg like that? That's really rude.
Ava just glares at her and it's just like, Do you seriously have nothing better to do with your pathetic little life? Just piss off, okay?
She, at that, she's gonna, like, throw a punch at you and try to just hit you.
Can I try to intercept that? Because Hannah was definitely going to, like, turn around and try to, like, be like, just stop, it's fine. Like,
sure, why don't you roll to defend her? It's okay. Really low stakes for that, but I think...
Yeah, no pressure. Oh, well, we're off to a rolling start, because that was a 2.
Oh, boy.
plus 2 is a 4. Okay. So that is... Man, I need to abandon these dice already. Why is this happening?
Cassie has thrown a... She's, like, not a fighter, and so this is kind of a weird punch, but she's tried to definitely, like, punch... I mean, she's a field hockey. So maybe it's actually less of a punch and more of like a she's moving to like body check her. And you have dived. Like, what are you doing to protect Ava? And how has it gone wrong? Like, what didn't you account for?
I was expecting it to be easy. Like, I was expecting, like, oh, I'll just catch her hand. Like, that's not that big of a deal. Like, I can do that. And wasn't expecting her to, like, throw more of her body into it. And I think as I, like, turn to try to stop, there's a bunch of coffee on the floor when Mean Girl poured it on me. And I think I, like, lose my footing because I went to turn very quickly to try to stop it and just, like, totally eat it. And my feet just, like, go out from under me as I, like,
So you start to slip. I think that you don't fully fall, though, because you tumble into someone else. And that other person is Freya Fulmer, who we know is the hero Inertia, who is Ava's kind of guardian, parole officer, forced mentor,
parole officer.
mandatory
mentor. But she's not She's not here, sort of in hero costume. She's here in like a nice like business attire, and so she's going to catch you, Hannah. Do you know Miss Fulmer?
I don't think so.
And Ava, as you would see your friend kind of get, they're like, I guess not, like, you've, so I guess you have just taken this punch.
Yeah. She's going to try and push Cassie down into the spilt coffee.
Okay.
Like, she'll take the punch and then she'll just kind of, like, grab her by the shoulders and try and slam her down. And yeah. Hannah will notice it starts to heat up in the area surrounding Ava a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, so you're able to do that because I think that when it comes to a real fight, she's really not a match for you.
Yeah.
So we have this panel where Hannah has sort of, like, slipped and fallen and been caught by Miss Fulmer, and Cassie's on the ground, and Fulmer kind of sets Hannah upright again and says, Ava, I think we need to have a talk.
No, this was really all my fault. Ava was just helping.
Also, I think it's important just to call out that Miss Fulmer is not she's not a teacher at the school. She's just here for some reason. So it is a little bit strange to encounter her.
Ava is doing something stupid. Senses were tingling.
yeah. She is going to, I think, ignore you, Hannah, and maybe even kind of, like, start to physically try to move Ava off to like a corner somewhere to talk to you a little bit more of a private setting.
Yeah, Ava just kind of, if she touches her, she'll, like, flinch away and be like, They poured coffee on her. Like, what, you expect me to just do nothing?
You could have alerted a teacher. You could have told the principal. You need to be careful about these kinds of things. You can't just be getting into fights. You're lucky that I was there to stop it. Which she definitely really did not do.
Yeah. Right, Ava just kind of points to where Cassie's lying in the puddle of coffee and is like, actually, I think I stopped the fight, so...
And you're lucky that she only fell in some coffee and that you didn't hurt her more, because you know how things go sometimes. And she is trying to shift your labels. She's shifting up your danger and she's lowering your superior, which you can reject if you don't agree with. But as an adult, she has influence over you.
Yeah.
So she's telling you how things go.
I mean, I think Ava sees what she did as doing the right thing. but I don't know whether that constitutes resisting having her shift my labels or not.
Yeah, I think that definitely is. She's saying you did something. You took a risk here. You did something dangerous, and you believe that you did the right thing. So I think that counts. So why don't you roll to reject her influence, which is just a flat roll.
Okay. That is a 9.
Okay. So when you reject someone's influence, you just hit. So on a 7 to 9, you get to choose one from... You hold successful to yourself and tune them out, and you get to choose one from the list. So you can choose to clear condition or mark potential, but you have to immediately act to prove her wrong. You can choose to shift one label up or one label down, your choice. Or you can cancel her influence over you and take +1 forward against her.
So I feel like she's being very obstinate and just like, no, you're wrong. What are you doing here? Leave me alone.
Yeah. You would have to find a way to immediately act to prove her wrong, though.
Yeah, Ava just kind of squares up against her and is just like, well, I didn't see any fucking teachers around. And what, there's like a whole group of them picking on one person? Isn't that kind of what we're supposed to help prevent? They acted first, so, you know, I was just stepping in to intervene.
And she kind of like inhales and looks back over at the situation. And you really, I think, got her in kind of a tough spot where you're not wrong. But she's going to try to hold to her guns and kind of say, all right, so maybe you were correct this time, but this is definitely the kind of things we've talked about in the past. You need to be careful. Like, you know, it'll happen if you hurt somebody. And so you need to be doubly careful. You need to make sure that, like, you more than anyone else, you're not just some other kid here. You know what you are. You know who you are. You know what you can do.
Yeah, you make me well aware of it all the time.
Anyway, I have to go. I have some business with the principal, but get to class. I think the bell's going to ring soon. And stay out of trouble. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Okay.
I think in the meantime, Cassie has been helped up by her friends. Outside of, I think, some mean glances at Hannah, who's somewhere in the scene, recovering herself, and they're going to kind of scuttle away through the crowd of other students. And so the two of you then need to head to class.
Once Freya, like, walks away, Hannah will probably just, like, I'll just go over and just be like, hope you didn't get in trouble, but thanks.
That's fine.
If you're sure, I mean, like, they would have left. It would have been fine.
Yeah, they were being bitches. Like, come on. Anyway, she's not a teacher. It doesn't matter.
Oh, then if she wasn't a teacher, then why was she here? Is like that your, like, mom or something?
No. It doesn't matter. I know her, but, like, whatever. We were handling it. It's fine. That's...
Yeah, it was certainly handled. Yeah, I'm gonna try to go change my shirt real quick before class. Got some in the locker room. But thank you again.
No problem, anytime.
I'm going to attempt to go scurry off to change very quickly between classes.
Okay.
Yeah, as Hannah walks away, Ava's just like, I'll cover for you, and then goes off to science.
Okay. So we're going to cut forward to the science classroom, where we're going to find Ophelia. You made it to class, or I guess we're going to go back in time a little bit too. This is all happening a little bit concurrently. Ophelia, you made it to class early. Why did you get to science class early, I guess?
Honestly, I probably always get to my classes a little bit early, especially because I'm using my wheelchair today. So I'm actually allowed to leave a little early. To transfer classes.
Okay, cool.
That's
cool,
a real
cool,
thing. Cool. So
yeah, it makes sense. So you're in the classroom. There's no one else there yet except for Mrs. Royston, who's there, who's your science teacher. And she is going to kind of do the thing where she walks over to an adjacent student desk and is going to sit down and say, Ophelia, do you have any plans for the summer? I guess we're almost at the end of the school year. Are you doing anything fun this summer? And we are, to be clear, this is like happening sort of now-ish. So it's sort of April. It's not that close to summer.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, I usually have to go visit some family, you know, in the summer. But, you know, I'm hoping to be able to maybe spend a little more time here with some friends.
That sounds fun. And she's going to kind of like, she's going to like lean towards you and in a kind of like sort of more conspiratorial, like hushed tone, be like, and like, I know who your mother is. And so I was just wondering if you like, it's fine. Like, I understand, like we all, I just wanted to make sure that you were going to be fine, for whatever you had to do this summer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, always a great visit. You know, everyone's really nice and stuff. Thank you.
I was wondering if you could do
Ophelia's just like stiffens.
I was wondering if you could do me a favor. Do you have anything from over there? Like I'm doing a bit of I'm planning a bit of a science experiment presentation for the end of the school year, and I was thinking that it would be something that it would be interesting to sort of look at. And I was wondering if that's something that you could loan me something, or if you could get me something.
Oh, I mean, probably like I've got, you know, some like little gifts or like even toys and stuff from when I was a kid. Would people know that they came from me though? Cause you know, and you know, Ophelia sort of straightens and like looks to make sure nobody's come into the classroom yet. And it's like, cause I don't really, you know, want people to know.
No. We could definitely. I wouldn't have to let. We'll find some way to explain it as I can get you some extra credit, in the class. But no one will know that the stuff came from you. I just need. It's more for my own kind of curiosity and research, and I'll be presenting my findings than the actual individual things.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I can find something. Is there anything in particular you would like?
No, really, just anything that came from there.
Sure, yeah. I can bring something tomorrow.
That would be excellent. You're always my favorite student, and I'm so glad that we can find some way to work this out.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm just really glad to be able to help. You know.
That's why I'm excited to have you in my class this year. And she's gonna kind of like awkwardly stand back up and walk to the front of her, walk back to her own desk. I think at that point, the not at all ominous in any way.
Yeah, totally note, normal.
Totally normal exchange. The bell's gonna ring, and as the rest of the students kind of pile in, and the rest of the group is all there. You all have this science class together. So you all file in, and you find your seats wherever you sit. The class kind of like students in the class have their little exchanges. Maybe Hannah comes in a little bit later because she's had to run off to the gym or something like that to grab a change of clothes. After a moment, Mrs. Royston calls for everyone to sit down, and she starts to teach the class. You're learning about like pH balances or something chemically. And she says, actually, I have a presentation I can show you. Let me go find. I'll be right back. Everyone, hang tight. I'll be right back. And she walks to the back of the classroom where there's like it's a science room. So you have like a section of the room that has regular chairs and desks, and then there's like the back section that has the lab tables and stuff. And there's in the very back of the room, there's like an enclosed thing that has. For like chemical testing that's like sort of isolated, and there's a room to a back room where she has her own little like isolated lab / storage room that's sort of shared between classrooms, and she is gonna go looking for some stuff. I want to check back in that moment, in that like sort of downbeat where you're not being watched by a teacher, with Silas. You've had now probably a little bit of time to look at these photos of documents. How would you have approached that, I guess? Would you have, like, just tell me about your approach to looking at new science stuff, new numbers.
You know, I know that this is flex stuff going in, so I feel like I'm at least somewhat familiar with how these reports tend to get formatted. So it's probably first that I'm trying to identify exactly, like, what is this about? You know, see, like, identify header information and, like, oh, this key in the bottom means that, like, this is related to this, you know, all of that. And then from there, start to figure out what the numbers actually mean.
Yeah. Okay. So I think there are a couple things that you notice at first, which is that a lot of these pages are missing the kind of formal headers and footers that identify like typical Flex reports. Like normally someone runs these reports or runs whenever someone's doing testing or whatever engineering analysis of things, they'll collect all of the data and they'll put it together in a presentation form to send off to someone like this. And that's when that stuff gets added. And this is like before that. This is like someone has taken the raw output of some of these reports or tests and stuff. And what you're seeing is like a pretty aggressive analysis of some pieces of like some item, like something. Like they're running chemical tests, they're running like gravimetric tests, they're running more tests than I can think of, tensile physics tests, there's enough like wild disparate pieces of evaluation here that it's like it's not even clear what they're trying to do. It's not clear what even there is they're testing because they've really just thrown like everything they have at it. And the results are like really weird and off So another thing that compounds you not being super clear what it even is they're testing is that the results are like really wild and off of charts that you were expecting to see.
Yeah. So I think Silas just kind of like leans over. So I don't think they even know what it is that they're testing here. I mean, there's just none of this data really makes sense. It's not formalized yet. And it's really just throwing like spaghetti at a wall. They're just trying to see what sticks. I don't think they know what they have.
So inconclusive is the answer.
Well, okay, yes. The reports themselves and the data is inconclusive. But then you have to think about what would drive them to do this in the first place. Like, the fact that they have this sort of data and this sort
Silas. I don't know what any of what you're saying means, but I think it sums up to still, we don't know.
Yes, we don't know, but not knowing is actually a very important thing to know. That is what I'm getting at.
So not knowing we don't know more is good?
Yes. Because that means it's something unknown. Like, sorry. There's possibilities, but we know that they're not testing like a school bus or like grass.
So basically we can rule out anything normal. So that's good.
Yes.
Oh, I get it now. Cool. It's not like a pencil. But why would our business teacher and our science teacher be passing this information back and forth?
Yeah, and since when does Flex have anything to do with the school anyways? Like, part of why I was like, yeah, I'm going to come here is because there was, like, no Flex influence here. So, like,
to the best of your knowledge, there isn't. and I think that before you can really dive into that further, all of you are going to hear this, like, the sound of something, like, falling. Like, something in it sounds like Mrs. Royston, who is fumbling around in this storage closet for stuff, has like accidentally knocked over a bunch of boxes or storage container crates or whatever that she's got back there. It's a little concerning, but it's not like really concerning. But what is really concerning is that the door to the storage room like bursts off of its hinges and like a plume of fire bellows out into the classroom. it starts, and like you can clear, like if there's just like one kind of big plume, it's like not an explosion, it's just like a plume of fire that bursts out into this room that knocks the door off its hinges, and you can't see inside the room enough because there's enough smoke in there that you can't see Mrs. Royston. And like after immediately this like big bellow of fire, you can see that it's like this weird, as it sort of settles into a normal, like, burning fire in this storage room, it's a green, like, chemical-y fire. I think that most of the kids in this room kind of, like, jump out of their desks and, like, scramble away from this explosion. A couple kids probably just throw themselves to the ground. What are you doing to react to this?
So we don't we can't see her at all. Like,
no, she's presumably here, somewhere like, in that room.
Okay.
I'm just gonna run into the room because I'm invincible. So it doesn't
make sense.
Like, I'm just gonna try to get her out. Like, so I'm just gonna run into the fire and try to get her get Miss Royston out.
Okay. So you run into this room and tell me first of all, the fire can't hurt you, but do you still like feel hot? Do you still feel like, do you feel it?
I feel it. It just doesn't stop. Like, it doesn't hurt enough to like stop me.
Okay. It is very smoky in here. And so what I would like you to do is roll to unleash your powers. Just to like, as you're sort of like, you're just tanking this fire, but you still have to kind of like fumble around and try to find where a person in here is.
Okay. I can't roll worse than I did the first time. So. So that's 2 2s. So the first time I rolled 2 1s. So that's a 4.
So here's the good news. You are invulnerable. So this fire is not helping. It's not hurting you at all. Mm-hmm. But you are kind of just like flailing around kind of in this smoke and weird green fire, which seems to like be burning on the floor and on the table. And like almost like there are parts of the air that are almost even just on fire. Like, it's really just like the fire is ubiquitous in this room. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hot, but like obviously, again, you're invulnerable. So but you're not immediately finding a person, which is a little bit concerning because this is not a huge closet.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ava, what we were saying, you were gonna help. What were you gonna do?
Given that her powers involve controlling fire, she also sort of takes a moment to kind of stare, like, oh god, if I go near this, are they gonna think I did it? But then sees Hannah rush in and then rushes after her and is gonna try and use her pyrokinesis to sort of like move the flames out of the way as Hannah and her are moving through the room and try to, because she knows that. Part of her ability is being able to, like, create and control fire. She knows that technically she is also able to put those fires out. So she's going to try and, like, move the fire aside and try to put it out.
Okay, so then I think that you should also roll to unleash your powers to control this fire.
That is a 10 on the roll. Do I add anything to that?
You're a freak.
So 13.
So that's a 13. Wow. Okay, so you really succeeded. So on a hit, you do it, and on a 10 plus... So on a 13, you've definitely got this under control. So what do you want to do with these fires? Like, do you want to put them out entirely? Do you want to move them? Like, you, I think, have come in here and seized control of these fires.
I think, I think at first she's trying to just kind of like create a path for Hannah. And then she feels like she has as much control as she would like to have in this situation, which isn't always the case. So she starts trying to put the fire out completely.
Okay, so as you control the fires and pull them into like a smaller shape and try to like put them out, they start to go out. You see that in the back of the room there's some cardboard boxes that have fallen off of this big shelf, but there is like a flame blanket that is on the ground that like as soon as the fires are pulled away, you can see Miss Royston is starting to move around. Underneath, or presumably move around, presumably Miss Royston, because she was the person in this room, but there's a human form under this like fire blanket, and I think that actually, she pulls it off of herself, and you can see that it is Miss Royston, and she's like, she's trying to fold up this blanket now to like get it off of her and to stand back up. I don't know, so the other thing that you'll notice is as you sort of pull these fires down and apart, and to put them out, they don't go out entirely. They kind of like collapse. You're able to grab all the fire and kind of move it into one space and kind of then like dim the fire until it becomes this one little like dot of a firefly dot of fire. And like as much as you try, as hard as you try, you can't put that piece of fire out. And actually it like zips up off the ground or off of the wall and starts to fly out into the classroom. And starts to dart around the room, kind of like a weird zipping, almost fairy-like movements. And so the rest of you who are in this room see this happening. How did the rest of you react to that?
Well, I'm made of wax.
That's a good point.
And fire has happened. So my first reaction is to clear a path for people to get out of the classroom and see if anyone is in a state of shock and grab them and just kind of throw them out the classroom door.
And then Silas and Ophelia, what are you doing?
I think Ophelia is actually sort of assisting Benicio and trying to like help keep people calm. Just sort of like, it's okay, you know, Hannah and Eva will take care of everything. It's gonna be all right. They'll be all right.
And what do you
get out?
And like smiling and trying to like be encouraging to everyone while Benicio's like, leave for your life.
And so I think this is we're on the side of a room where we're on the side of the building where this is there's a window in this room. And so I think that Ophelia, for a second, you see this like zipping green fiery firefly light thing zips around the room. It hits the blackboard, bounces off. It zips over to you. It kind of almost looks at you a little bit, and then it's going to just shoot out the window and like not break the glass, but just like burn a hole straight through, and then zips out into the world at large.
Do I recognize anything about this?
I think that
element
once,
or entity.
I think that you are definitely getting like very strong fairy vibes to it. Like,
okay.
It's like I think maybe even you could have identified the weird green fire as like not chemical fire, but some kind of fairy fire.
Okay.
Pretty quickly, and then this was like maybe like because you were moving around trying to help people, so maybe you saw it and you had like a thought in the back of your head. But then once you saw it kind of moving around like a fairy,
right,
then you're like, okay, I have a better idea now. Yeah. Oh wait. Some of this makes more sense. So I do want to jump back to the closet. Miss Royson is gonna start to stand up and brush herself off. She looks a little like she's like not as wounded or hurt in any way as you would have expected. Like some of her clothes are like a little bit singed, but she kind of looks at the two of you. How so, Eva, you just used your powers to put out fire.
Yeah.
She didn't see you do that though. So like how are you playing this?
I have an idea. So, presumably because this is a science classroom, there's probably a fire extinguisher on the wall. So I think as soon as she realizes she's got the fire under control, Eva just very quickly grabs that fire extinguisher and just randomly sprays it around.
Okay. Great. I love it. And so I think that that all happens then before Miss Royston sees you. And she is going to kind of push the two of you out of this storage room as fast as possible. And just be like, thank you so much for helping. I'm so lucky that there was a fire blanket in there that I was able to grab and protect myself before I got hurt.
What happened? What? Surely you don't have materials dangerous enough to do that in a school?
I mean, it is a science classroom, and we do some chemical experiments here. Someone must have left something unput away and not properly placed in the safety locker. I'm going to have to talk to their teachers about that. But thankfully, no one was hurt. None of you students were hurt. You kind of rushed in there, and I heard someone moving around in the fire. You, Hannah, are you okay? Was that you?
No, I'm okay. You're all right. Though I just wanted to make sure that you okay. But yeah,
luckily I tripped. When I knocked something off the shelf, I tripped and fell to the ground, and there was a fire blanket there. And so before the fire was able to get to me, I was able to protect myself.
Oh, what an incredible coincidence.
It is the number one thing about science that you need to know is to always be prepared.
Good to know. So, all right, well, as long as you're okay and everything else seems to be okay.
You know, maybe you should go to the nurse's office.
No.
Cancel class for today.
I don't know if there's need for that. And she kind of moves over to where the door is lying on the ground, and she's gonna pick it up and like she tries to like it takes her a little bit because she's not superhumanly strong. But she lifts this big door up and like, sort of places it back where it should be to at least like prevent people from walking in there.
Do we both just stand there and watch her struggle to lift everything? Us two superpowered people.
And she's gonna walk like, I think she's going to walk over to the rest of the room and this sort of like, I think there's a mix of students who are in there on their way out and students in the hallway. And she's going to kind of look back at that storage closet and just say, actually, you know what? I think it would be a good idea. We should probably all evacuate this room just to be safe. Why don't we all go down to, and she kind of looked, there's like a map of the floor on the wall next to the, like, it's the fire exit kind of map. And she finds a room that's like probably one that doesn't have a class in it. And she says, why don't we head down to room 22E? There shouldn't be anyone in there now. We can have the rest of the class in there.
Don't you need to like report this?
I'll let them know. Yeah, it doesn't need to be right now. Don't worry about it.
I'm getting more suspicious as this is going on.
Are you going to?
Yes.
and Silas was not helping evacuate. Silas was just like sitting on his desk watching the chaos.
Yes, good.
So I think he's really starting to kind of analyze what just went on here because.
Okay.
I know this weird packet was going to this teacher. Mm-hmm. And now she's being super sus.
Are you trying to assess the situation, or are you trying to assess her? Like, are you trying to pierce her mask? Because I could see it being both.
I think I was going more for an assess the situation.
Okay, then as you're sort of sitting back watching all of this play out, why don't you give me that roll to assess the situation?
All right, that's 12.
Excellent. So you get to ask two questions from this list.
Okay, let's see. I think one of the questions is what here is the biggest threat? And that, like, what, like, I mean, clearly I just saw the fireball, but
yeah,
she's acting shady beyond that.
I think that what's here is the biggest threat would be that if this packet of reports that's supposed to go to her is kind of like you're familiar with the caliber of science that's going on there, and it's really kind of like above, like, if this is a woman who just like almost blew up part of, or like just like tripped and fell and blew up part of a storage closet, like, and she's a high school science teacher, like, quite frankly, this is like maybe out of her kind of like her comfort zone. So if she's messing with stuff that really should be at like the flex level of science, or like quite frankly, like at your level of science, then like maybe she's going to stumble into something dangerous that could hurt people. If that's really what's happening. And you get to ask another question.
What here can I use to figure out what the packet's about?
There's like one or two lines of, there's a couple lines of deep in this stuff, there's like a couple references to an email that show up. And so I think that you get the sense that like she had initially emailed them pictures or something, because it's like there's like a reference to like her initial email in one of the like written responses, of which there are not really many. But it specifically calls out her school email account. And so if you could find a way to get access to her school email account, you might be able to find that and figure out what the connection is.
Benicio would like to finally deliver the packet. So as she's leading the students to new class, Benicio is who has rivulets going down his head and takes out this now singed packet and hands it to her. I more like slaps it against her chest, and you see that when he takes it away, that like his hand is like melting, and like he leaves like a handprint on the packet. And he just goes, the next time you allow students to leave things out that are dangerous, don't, maybe be a better teacher next time. Anyway, here's some numbers or documents or whatever I was asked to give you. And I just want to see what her reaction to a student just calling her out on being a bad teacher. And I'd like to roll to pierce her mask.
Okay. Yeah. She reaches down and grabs this packet from you and takes a look, like takes a long, hard look at the wax handprint that's left on it. And then if you're going to try to pierce her mask, yeah, why don't you give me that roll plus mundane?
Yeah, that's okay. I'm a transformed. That's my best stat. Wait. Yeah. 8 - 1 = 7.
Okay, just barely. So you get to ask one question from this list.
What are you really planning? Because if she's really guilty, I assume, like, if she has a look of extreme guilt on her face, I assume that she is responsible for this.
Yeah, I think that she had been, I think what you're getting is, she had been trying to spin this as some student left something unsecured, and so they're responsible for it. But you, well, like, so first of all, you know what's in this document, but she doesn't know that you know that. But she knows what's in it. I think that what you're seeing in the reaction of her face is, like, she knows that this was because she's doing something in the school that's not really school-related, and going above and, like, outside of what she's supposed to be doing here, and she's putting people in danger, which is exactly what you said. And so I think, so like, in terms of, like, what she's really planning is, she's got something that she's working on that's not, like I said, school-related. To give you a fuller answer to that, I think that what you don't see in her face is like an intent to stop.
Now, if you excuse me, instead of continuing whatever this is, I need to go someplace cold so I can, be a full person.
And she's going to just like yell at you as you walk away. Don't forget to grab the nurse's pass from the, never mind. The room was on fire. Just go to the nurse. Be safe.
I think Silas grabs the nurse's pass and is like, got it, and starts following Benicio.
Okay.
Congratulations, Benicio, you have a puppy. Yeah.
Good.
I love this dynamic.
So amazing. So good.
Does anyone want to have a scene before we end, while you're walking to a new classroom? Maybe Ophelia and Hannah and Ava?
I think sort of as we're like heading down while Benicio's distracting and talking to the, telling off our teacher, I'm going to sort of roll up next to them and be like, did you happen to see anything weird in there when you were in there? You know, like weirder than normal for a science room.
Weirder than the giant green fire. Yeah, there was like a part of it I couldn't put out and it like flew away. Did you see it?
Yeah, I think it might be something from, like, you know, somewhere else.
Or, like, your kind of somewhere else.
Yeah, I think maybe. That whole fire was not, you know, normal.
Yeah. So what, do you think she had that in there? Or was it really an accident?
I don't know.
She was so suspicious.
Well, right before class, she said she was working on, like, an experiment or something and asked if I had anything from there that I could bring in for her. But it seems like she already had something, so that doesn't feel right.
That's really weird.
Yeah. I said I was gonna bring something in tomorrow, and I
maybe don't.
I don't know what I'm gonna say. I was all, you know, I was excited. She wanted my help, so I was like, oh yeah, I've got lots of stuff because I do, you know.
Just say you were so frazzled by the fire that you forgot. I'd bring something in that's just like not from there, but looks like it could be.
But like, be like, oh, it's inert here because that's the way magic works.
Anyway, I might be able to figure something like that out, I guess, maybe. I don't want to give her kind of anything until I know more, because, you know, you can do some really messed up stuff with this stuff, even if it's, like, a really simple thing, you know? Like, I've got a freaking, like, teddy bear that will hug you back, and I don't even want to give her that.
Aw. I mean, just bring something that isn't magical, but looks like it could be, because you decorated it or something, and
tell her it's a thing and then it just won't work for her and just be like, oh, sorry, it must just not work in this realm.
Oh,
or just don't bother, because...
Has anybody, like, before ever asked you for, like, fairy, fairy things?
No, I mean, I don't, you know, most people don't really know, and then, you know, when they do, they don't really ask for, like, presents. So, I don't, that's never happened. I don't know what...
But it's, like, okay that she knows, right? It's not meant to be, I mean, like, it's not weird that she knows.
Right, I think a lot of the teachers know, you know, like, I think my dad, like, kind of told, like, the principal, at least when, like, we first moved here, because, like, that's, you know, important disclosure or something, I don't really know. But, so, it's pretty, you know, if you recognize the name or something, then it's not that weird, and if, yeah, I mean, you can find out easy. But I wasn't expecting her to, I don't know, say something like that. Teachers normally just avoid me once they find out.
I mean, she's a science teacher, so, like, maybe it is just, like, a scientific, like, you know, science and magic don't really mix a lot of times, so maybe, like, she's trying to do something like that. It's still... weird, like, there's no, I don't know, I didn't see much in the fire. It was a little too smoky, but it just is all very weird.
And so I think that you find your way to this new classroom that the other kids are starting to shuffle into, and I think that the final panel of our comic here is the three of you turning to walk into this room and looking back and seeing Mrs. Royston having kind of a quiet, hushed conversation with Miss DeWitt, who's a history teacher, who you're kind of like in the history section now, like the history and science sections are next to each other. But they're having kind of a quick, hushed conversation off to one side. And then Miss DeWitt kind of runs off, like, down the hallway. Not runs, but walks with a purpose. Mrs. Royston turns and brushes herself off again and walks towards the class to continue, presumably, teaching.
You turn to the last page of the comic and find a note from the editors. Do you have questions or comments? Send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city with the comic line your question is about in the subject. We'll publish your letters with every issue and include a response from our editors.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter @AndTheMeltdowns.
Silas is played by Landon, who can be found on Twitter @OccasionalGM. He can also be found emceeing for Shadows of St. Fleur, which can be found on Twitter @StFleurPod. Being a professional GM for the Magpie Games curated play program, or causing havoc as a player, GM, or listener over at TTRPG Roulette. Benicio is played by Marquez, who can be found on Twitter @MarquezTheGM. He can also be found as a GM or player on the Tabletop Potluck podcast, which is on Twitter @TabletopPotluck, and dissecting Shakespeare adaptations on the Avant Bard podcast, which is @AvantBardPod on Twitter. Hannah is played by Megan Cross, who can be found on Twitter @MeganLynnFTW. Her game design can be found at MeganLynnFTW.itch.io or on Twitter @SirenSongGames. Ophelia is played by Samwise Gamgee, who can be found on Twitter @TheSamwisest. They can also be found streaming more TTRPGs on the Chromatic Chimera's Twitch channel, where they are also the accessibility director. Ava is played by Izza, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram @EvilCleverDog. As well as on her YouTube channel youtube.com/evilcleverdog, where she makes videos about cosplay, design, and crafting. She's also part of the Asians Represent Critical Read Alkadim podcast. Megan, Sam, and Izza stream with the No Initiative group, which can be found on Twitter @NoInitiativeTV, and on the Chromatic Chimera Twitch channel, where they play Quest, The Soaring City.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.